Thank you, Erskine. Take your Bible and turn with me tonight to Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2. Just doing several messages on Sunday morning and on Wednesday nights. Tonight we want to look at the story of Joseph and the cast. Sunday night we looked at the wise men who came to see Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. What if all of a sudden you just landed on earth from out of space and you were told that America is celebrating Christmas? How would you define Christmas? You'd see decorations. You'd see people rushing in and out shopping. The American Federation for Economics, the National Retail Federation, says this: that the average adult American will spend $800 apiece on gifts for others, gifts for yourself, decorations, etc. You say, well, that's kind of a low number. You think some people can't spend anything. Other people spend way too much. Now, if you don't like to shop, you could do like one senior adult lady who decided that she would send all of her children and grandchildren checks in the mail with a Christmas card. And in that Christmas card, she said, "Buy your own gifts." So she sealed them all up and mailed them off. And in 2 months, she hadn't received one thank you note from any of her family members. She was so disgusted. Then one day she was cleaning off the desk in her study, and she found a stack of checks like this that she failed to put into the Christmas cards. So it's not a good idea if you tell them in the card to buy your own gifts and then have a senior moment. God's plan included people playing a vital role. And tonight I wanted us to look at Joseph. Joseph, if you were playing Joseph in the Christmas play, you would not win an Oscar for Best Actor. You would also not win an Oscar for the Best Supporting Actor. Someone may win an Oscar for Best Non-Supporting Actor if you play Joseph, but you won't be doing anything. Have you ever noticed that when churches or schools produce a Christmas play, Joseph never says one word? In fact, when you look in Scripture, there are no recorded words where Joseph actually spoke. Every year during this Christmas season, we hear a whole lot about Mary and the shepherds, the wise men. We even hear about sheep and donkeys and turtle doves, but Joseph is just not prominent. God told Joseph, "You're going to play a huge role to be a part of the promised Messiah's arrival." And we're not given any details about Joseph's life. If you look at Matthew 1:1-17, you'll see a genealogy there. You'll see the legal lineage of Jesus. And as you study that, you'll find Joseph's father in verse 16 of chapter 1 was named Jacob. Joseph is also referred to as a son of David in verse 20. His family belonged to Bethlehem, We know that he was a carpenter and taught his skills to Jesus. Luke 2:22-24 and 41-42, we find he was a pious Israelite, faithful in all the ordinances of the temple. I don't know about you, but this is just my imagination. In my mind, he appears to be a strong man. Somebody, if you shook his hands would be like leather from working with wood. And I also perceive him as a quiet man. And think about that. That was exactly the kind of man that Mary would need. Jesus would also need the care of a man like Joseph. So Jesus had an earthly mother and a heavenly father. And you see that she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost in Matthew 1, verse 18. So Christ had a heavenly father, but he required the care of an earthly legal father. So notice here a dilemma that Joseph encountered in verse 18. We find here Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, marriage customs in those days were so much different than ours. In fact, so many people now just dispense with marriage. But back in those days, first of all, they had the engagement time. You know, that engagement period could have started when you were a child. For back in those days, oftentimes, parents would choose a spouse for their children when they were very small. You as a child would have had no say-so in that at all. How many of you would have liked for your parents to pick out your spouse? How many of you would say that your parents could have done a better job picking out your spouse than you did? I remember when I was unsaved and I was dating Delaine, I remember she went home one night and her dad said, "Get rid of this guy. He's lost." And she said, "He's a good friend." She said, "I'm just that close to leading him to Jesus." And I know I was not handpicked by my in-laws to be married to their daughter. But we had a great relationship. I heard about a little girl who was 4 years old. And somebody asked her one day, said, "Who are you going to marry when you grow up?" She said, "I'm going to marry Donnie." I said, "Well, you're 4 years old. How do you know who you're going to marry?" And she said, "Well, I have to." I said, "Well, why do you have to?" She said, "Well, because all the other boys live across the street. Mama won't let me go across the street." So that's pretty good for an engagement period. Second stage was a period of betrothal. This usually lasted for about a year, similar to our engagement. But before entering into the state, the engagement could be broken, but if it was entered, the commitment was binding. There was a song many years ago by somebody and Sister Rose called "It's Too Late to Turn Back Now." Do any of y'all remember that? Well, that's the stage this is, the betrothal, because the only way it could be broken was by divorce or by death. And then the consummation. After about a year, the couple was married in the ceremony which completed the final stage of the process. And then I want you to know that some of you who have had daughters have had to count the cost and you've exceeded the budget when it came to the wedding reception. But back in those days, the wedding reception lasted about a whole week. Can you imagine getting married and then your friends and family members stayed at your house eating and drinking for a whole week? That was supposed to be a happy time. And notice here, it says in verse 18b, this should have been a happy time for the stars in our text here today, Mary and Joseph. But it says, then came the sudden news. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. What if your fiance came to you and said, "Honey, I'm pregnant. And by the way, it's God's fault." I had not heard that one before. Well, down in verse 19, Joseph kind of didn't believe her there to start with, and he decided to put her away. before he did something we ought to always do when we're in the middle of a crisis situation. Verse 20 says, when he had considered this. In other words, he had to pray through this. And notice Joseph's decision here in the text. He concluded that Mary had committed adultery, which would mean divorce. He loved her, but he was deeply hurt. Notice he endured restless days and sleepless nights. And then he finally made a decision. We're told that he was a just man. He was a righteous man. He wanted to live his life directly in line with the law. And he wanted to obey God's will according to the Old Testament. If there was an adultery that was committed, then there was a divorce. In fact, in the Old Testament, in even more severe consequences was death by stoning if you were caught in adultery. But guilty or not, Joseph loved Mary, and he decided to exercise mercy and obey God's command for him in the dream. Notice the directions from God in verses 20 through 23. It says here that Joseph pondered his crisis. He had a dream, and the angel of the Lord spoke to him. You may want to note that this is the third visitation of an angel from heaven in a progression leading to the birth of Christ. He said, "Fear not." The angel said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary, your wife." That is really good news. And the good news of Christmas is Jesus came to dispel our fears about living and about dying. You know, we live in a society that's very skeptical concerning miracles and the supernatural. Christ was supernaturally conceived, had an earthly mother and a heavenly father. When you think about this, he was older than his mother when he was born, and he was the same age as his heavenly father. Notice the angel continues. Verse 23, and she shall bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And there Jesus is given the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. In John chapter 1, the Word came down and dwelt among us. We think about God with us. In the heart of London is a place called Trafalgar Square. And there's a memorial there to England's greatest naval hero. His name was Admiral Lord Horatio. And this memorial to him is remembering the time in October 21st, 1805, when the British fleet under Nelson defeated the French and also the Spanish fleet. The problem was with this memorial and this statue is that it was on a column that stood so high, people could not make up the details of this war hero. So in 1948, somebody else sculpted out another statue and put it on at ground level so people could see the image of this man who had led to such a great victory for England. When you think about this, Jesus left his throne in heaven. Emmanuel, God with us, so we could get a better glimpse at our Savior and our Lord. And notice the dedication of Joseph in verses 24 and 25. We discover here that Joseph obeyed God. You know, I think the greatest decision we ever make in our life is to trust Jesus as our Savior and Lord. But the second greatest decision is deciding that we are going to obey God. Now, Joseph took Mary, but think about the gossip that was in that town. Notice when you seek God's will and He reveals it, the best thing we can do is act upon it. You know, the week I wrote this message, I got a letter from a person that said this, "Dr. May, I want you to know that I love Pleasant Valley South. I haven't been a member long, but I've never felt at home here." And then they went on to say to me that I never got involved with any ministry. Well, let me tell you a secret. unless you get involved in a Bible study class and involved in ministry here, you're never going to be at home here. In fact, you're never going to be at home in any church. God has not called us to become a spectator. He has called us to get involved. The same day I wrote this message, I called a friend who was packing, and he and his family were moving to another part of the country. He said, "We're leaving at 6 a.m. in the morning." The health of one of their spouses had really gone bad, and so the other spouse had a job across the country. And as I talked to this person on the phone, I said, "Do you really know what you're doing?" And they said, "No, but God knows what He's doing." I said, "Well, I know God knows what He's doing, but you better make sure you know what you're doing. Because, listen, God's way is not always the softest way. God's way is not always the easiest way. It's not always the safest way, but it's the surest way to blessing and to His protection." And look, if you will, at Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 33. The next thing for Mary and Joseph and Jesus is they took a trip to Jerusalem. Hey, remember when we talked Sunday night, we talked about Jerusalem and Bethlehem only being about 5 to 6 miles south of Jerusalem. They went to Jerusalem to go to the temple, and there was a rite of purification because Mary had shed blood and she couldn't worship until she was purified. That was the law. So it says here that they brought turtle doves, and we know that was a sacrifice, an offering given by poor people. And we know that it meant that they were poor. Normally a family would bring a lamb, but they brought doves, and Mary was purified. And then you read in Scripture carefully, it'll say that the firstborn, if it's a male, was given to God. So every Jew in this day, if that child was firstborn, came and brought that child to give to God. Now what happened at the temple? There's Simeon and Anna. Simeon had been waiting to see the Messiah. He was told by God he wouldn't die until he was to behold the Messiah. We look and we see his wife, Anna, was about 84 years old. And so we see here, as this scene's going on, I can just imagine Joseph standing in the background, and he's thinking about the dream he had, and then the birth of the child, and everything is just confirming that he did what God wanted him to do. You know, I think Joseph was quite a man. You know, Christmas is not just for the Marys, just for the women. You know, one thing I notice about ladies tend to be a little more emotional. And I'm not being critical. Would you agree with that? I think women tend to be a little more mystical. And the other thing is, men, I will never understand women. Okay, thank you, Fred. And his wife is teaching Awanas tonight, so he's with me all the way on this thing. You're just never going to understand women. That's not a bad thing. In fact, I think women like it that way. Isn't that right, women? Y'all enjoy it that way. You know, I was talking to a young man in counseling the other day, and I said, you know, I don't know what it is about ladies, but lots of times they want to talk to you, and they have a problem. And when they're pouring that problem out to you, you better make sure you've got direct eye contact. And I said, when they're spelling out that problem, you and I know the solution just that quick. But your wife does not want your solution. They want you to hear them out fully and experience the same pain they're enduring at the time. So don't bother giving them the solution. Just stay glued on them as long as you possibly can until you can feel some of that pain, and they'll give out a breath and go away. They'll go to the other end of the house. Now don't y'all tell that I told that, but it took me a long time to learn that, but I have learned that through the years. But I want you to know that men, we just, you know, we've got to touch and we got to feel. We're somewhat skeptical. And so So for the mystical Marys and the practical Joseph, this is all good news about Jesus coming. You know, if you go through life, you're going to find some things that are not always going to go according to your plans. God has a way of messing up the blueprints that we have drawn out. Joseph was not the star in this event. He was just in the supporting cast. I read about a correspondent who was trapped in Paris one Christmas Eve. He and his wife were supposed to catch a flight home. He said the weather or something had canceled all the flights. He said so they were hungry and they went out on the streets of Paris, and there was one little French restaurant that was open. And he said it was one of those little bitty one horse restaurants in Paris. He said we walked in and it was pretty dark in there. He said there was a French family over here, there was a family from England over here, and there was a family from Germany over here. Everybody was just stranded that night and couldn't take their flights home. And you know how some of those places you go in, it's the dew drop in, you're thinking the food's not going to look much better than this place. If the lights are too dim, I'm very concerned about the two C's, cleanliness and critters. Now they can tell me that's the love lights, but I know there's something else going on in that place. And he said, you know, we ordered our food, it wasn't that great. And he said everybody just looked pretty grim and pretty sad that night. He said over across the way there was one American seated by himself, and he was smiling, and he was in the Navy, and he was over at his table, he was eating, and he was writing a letter. And when he finished writing his letter, he got up, and there was a lady there, that a senior adult lady who had some flowers that were for sale. So he went over and he said, I want five of those long stem flowers there. She said, that'll be 5 francs. So he gave her 20 francs. She said, I'm sorry, I don't have any change. He said, that's all right. That's my gift to you for Christmas. And he reached down and kissed her on the cheek. Here's what he did. Near the top of the stem, he broke off all 5 of those balloons. And then he had an envelope, and he put his letter in it, and he put those 5 stems in the envelope and sealed it up. And he went around the restaurant giving a short stem flower to the ladies, the wives, at the tables. And this news correspondent said when he got to my table, said the sailor said, sir, do you mind if I give a flower to your daughter? It was his wife. And he said, I want you to know Christmas just absolutely erupted. Everybody was talking. They were excited. The families were joyful. You know, when you think about this, God came down the staircase of heaven with a baby in his arms. That's something to get excited about. But you know, when we think about those gifts that were brought to Jesus, gold so he could rule over us, the gift for a king, frankincense, the gift for a priest as he used that fragrance as he entered the temple, we knew that we needed had a need for a high priest. We have a permanent high priest at the right hand of the Father. His name is Jesus. And then we think about the myrrh that was used as an antiseptic and used in embalming. The gifts were just a prophecy of Jesus' life and death. And when you think about it, when Jesus was on the cross, that was the day God died. I can't explain that to you. But he died for what? To give us the greatest gift we could ever hope to receive. I was seated in the funeral home today planning Miss Marjorie's Aiken's funeral. She's just got one daughter. She and her husband are such fine people. Marjorie Aiken's reminded me of my mother-in-law. Hair always in place. Dressed to the nines. Always appropriate. A sweet smile. Loved a little joke. But a classy lady. And I sat there and I watched the daughter planning that funeral. It reminded me of Delaine. Delaine was down. She was the only child. Her brother had died. Miss Aiken's husband died in the 80s. Delaine's dad died in the 80s. And I kept looking at all the similarities of this. But then I thought, we're going to see them again and know them even as we are known because of what God did for us with the Christ event. Let's pray together.